Kirby Hemish hanging out with you with Kurt Hemish on your Saturday night. Starting lineups first for the visitors on the scoreboard. The Austin Greyhounds, their manager, Joe Saratori. Leading off at shortstop will be Nate Connor. Batting second in right field, Jordan Hart. Batting third, their designated hitter, Matt Cano. Batting fourth in center field, it's Tyler Nelson. Batting fifth, first baseman, Logan Spitzak. Batting sixth, catcher, Matt Rasso. Batting seventh, the second baseman, Dan Bollingberg. Batting eighth, third baseman, John Freen. Batting ninth, their left fielder, Chris May. And on the mound, being DH4, it's Nels Nelson for the Austin Greyhounds today. Again, Connor, Hart, Cano, Nelson, Spitzak, Rasso, Bollingberg, Freen, and May, with Nels Nelson on the mound for the Austin Greyhounds. Springers leading off. Right fielder will be Brian Hansen. Batting second at second, Garrett Fox. Batting third in center field, Eric Loxterkamp. Batting fourth, the first baseman this evening, Drew Van Loy. Batting fifth and on the mound, Zachary Femright. Batting sixth in left field, Alex Jungles. Batting seventh, the designated hitter, Joe Dempsey. Batting eighth at third base today, it's Jaron Terrace. Batting ninth, their shortstop, Zach Hinkemeyer. And doing the catching, being DH'd for, will be Ryan Holthaus. Again, it's Hansen, Fox, Loxterkamp, Van Loy, Femright, Jungles, Dempsey, Terrace, Hinkemeyer, with Ryan Holthaus doing the catching. Kurt, a little bit of a lineup change. I guess I'm not too used to seeing Drew Van Loy play first base, but Coach Tim Ilias maybe trying to get another stick in the lineup. Obviously a lot of options in that Springer dugout, but I guess I'm not too used to seeing, again, Drew Van Loy play first base.
Well, no, he generally doesn't. He's generally the third baseman for the Springers ever since he's been a Springer for about the past 7 to 8 years here. But I think you said it best, Kirby, when you wanted to get another stick in the lineup. I think he wanted to get Jaron Terrace's bat in the lineup. Jaron Terrace is the third leading hitter on the Springers team, and he's been kind of the utility infielder for the Springers, and they want to do what they can to get his bat in the lineup, and they made a change, and hopefully it's a good change for the Springers.
It's all about touching home plate more than the opponent, so maybe putting another bat in the lineup is the way Springer manager Tim Ilias was going about it. Kurt, Cold Spring Springers playing in mid-August. Once again, what is it, 29 or 28th of the last 29 years, and they are at the they are right now at the end of the greatest four-year stretch in amateur baseball history. Second place finish in 2012, back-to-back championships in 13 and 14, and a third place finish in last year, 2015. No one has ever done that in amateur baseball, so back at it again are the boys in maroon.
Yes, they are. You said it best. When they placed in the top three 4 years in a row here, it doesn't get better, much better than that. And you said it best because nobody else has ever done that before. And the Cold Spring Springers have been here 28 to 29 times. And if they would have had a 16-team tournament in 2011, the 1 year they didn't go, they were in the Sweet 16 that year. But that year, the state board decided to go with an 8-team state tournament. And that's the 1 year in the 29 years they did not make it, Kirby.
It's, you know, unfortunate, but that Class B format seems to change every day. So they'll get it figured out one of these years. This time around, it is a first-round single elimination in Class B. After that, you play into a double elimination tournament. Kind of like how it used to be in Class C. You had to win your first two games, and then you were in an eight-team tournament once upon a time in Class C. But this year, you win your first one to play into that eight-team tournament.
Well, it's huge to win that first ball game because you never know what can happen after that. Anybody can have a bad day here or there. So you want to win that first game so you are double elimination. So in case, unfortunately, you do end up with a loss, you are capable of coming back in order to win the tournament like the Springers have also done before.
We've had said goodbye to three teams already here today in Litchfield. Kurt, what's that bracket looking like? What have we seen thus far here at Optimus Park?
Well, so far today, Blaine defeated Duluth by a score of 16-4. And then the other Region 7B representative, Boudreaux of St. Cloud, defeated Coon Rapids by a score of 16-5 in seven innings. And a game that just got completed here, Shakopee defeated Forest Lake by a score of 10-6. And, of course, we have four more games here tomorrow in Litchfield, Kirby.
What do you got tomorrow? We got some time yet.
Tomorrow we got the Chaska Cubs playing Rochester Royals at 11 o'clock. At 1:30, it's Monticello against Meesville. At 5 o'clock, it's Champlin against the Moorhead Brewers. And at 7:30 tomorrow night, rounding out the first weekend of Class B, it's Dundas against St. Michael. And a lot of talk of Class B baseball is Moorhead Brewers, Kirby, have a pitcher that I believe his ERA is like .035 on the year.
Yikes. That's pretty good, .035. So it'll be interesting to see. That team can hit, too. So I think On the state website, I think a lot of early prognostication had a lot of people liking Moorhead's chances when it came into this state tournament. But it'll all shake itself out as a heavyweight fight here to start things off. Opening night, opening Saturday night in Class B baseball. Optimus Park is looking fantastic, and we get the Cold Spring Springers and the Austin Greyhounds, no strangers to facing one another at this time of year.
No, they haven't. They've been in the state tournament many times. They've played each other many times, and of course, they were supposed to play each other this year at Town Ball Day in the park at Target Field, but unfortunately that got rained out that day, and they're getting invited back to come back and play there next year. But they were supposed to get to meet down there, which would have been a great meeting, but nothing better than getting to meet here at the state tournament, Kirby.
I think I saw a tweet from Springer Reserve and a buddy of mine, Crispy Tala, that said once the brackets came out, I think he tweeted at the Austin Greyhounds saying, hey, can we move our game to Target Field? The Twins are out of town this weekend, so that would have been something. What an honor that would have been for these two teams. But they'll have to settle for Optimus Park here this evening as Zach Femright heads out to the mound as the Springers take the field. They'll be the home team here. And Femright on the mound in mid-August, late August. Kurt, nothing new for the boys in maroon.
No, that definitely isn't. I mean, you look at all the years that Springers have been to the state tournament and how many wins Zach Femright has, and just to update you people on it, Zach Femright is going for win number 200 here tonight for the Cold Spring Springers. And what a better time to do that other than opening the state tournament.
Opening night of the state tournament, I guess there's never really a bad time to get your 200th win, but it should be a good evening, hopefully an advantageous evening. We appreciate you joining us on KASM AM 1150 in Albany. If you're struggling to get us in on AM 1150, there is an FM translator now, 107.7, you can receive us on. You HD radio folk, whether in your car, your truck, or your home, if you have an HD radio, it's 105.5 HD2, or if none of that's working for you, you can always go online, mykasm.com. Click on the Listen Live link. You can hear Kurt and I yakking about ball all night long. Also, the TuneIn Radio app is KASM friendly. So many avenues to hear baseball, and how many people heard baseball today all over the place. You had Randy and Don over in Dassel talking about soft pretzels and things of that nature. I heard plenty of it on my drive from Broughton up here to Litchfield. I heard those guys yakking about food. Shocking, I know, those two. But they had the St. Martin and Montgomery game as well as the Regal and Shakopee game, a couple good ball games. I had a good ball game in Broughton as well. Let's hope that remains the case here this evening in Litchfield as Nate Connor steps into the batter's box for the Austin Greyhounds. Greyhounds and Nate Connor will step in as it'll be Connor, Jordan Hart, and Matt Cano due up for the Greyhounds here in the top of the first inning. Femright finishes his windup, his warm-up pitches. First offering in there for a strike. Set the Springers up for you defensively here in the top of the first inning as Femright, lanky right-hander, comes right back. His one-strike offering, that's missing high for a ball. Jaron Terrace over at third base. Zach Hinkmeyer at shortstop. Garrett Fox at second base. And Drew Van Loy at first base for Cold Spring. Femright's 1-1. That's cut on and missed by Connor. He's in a hole at 1-2. Left field, Alex Jungles. Center field, Eric Lockstercamp. Right field is Brian Hansen. Doing the catching is Ryan Holthaus. And the aforementioned Zach Femright on the mound for the Springers. Z's 1-2 pitch. That's in there, strike three, and Connor's out on strikes. He goes down looking for out number one, strikeout number one, and just kind of buzzed that one by him. Kurt, I don't know if he was all too, maybe he was thinking Femright was going to waste one there or what, but he sure wasn't ready for that 1-2 fastball.
I don't know. He never even took his bat off the shoulder in that hole at bat, and he stood there and he looked at that one and right on the outside corner for Zach Femright.
That'll bring Jordan Hart to the plate as Hart lifts one into right center field. First pitch swinging and a solid knock right there for Jordan Hart. He runs into one, pushing one into right center field. So, Kurt, you just said Nate Connor not swinging much, and Jordan Hart says enough of that. I'll swing at it.
Well, I didn't think he wanted to go up there and not take his bat off his shoulder like the leadoff man did. He right away jumped on that first pitch strike and put it out there for a single.
So, a man on. Femright will work from the stretch here. That'll bring Matt Cano to the plate. Cano, the designated hitter for the Greyhounds. Big, lumbering, left-handed swinging batter. As he looks at a first-pitch ball that pops out of the mitt of Ryan Holthaus. It'll be out of the way of Holthaus, so Jordan Hart will advance to second base. We going pass ball or wild pitch on that?
I think we got to go with pass ball on that one, Kirby.
Yeah, I think Ryan should have had that. normally, Holthaus is an institution behind the plate for the Springers, and he's normally pretty darn good back there as well. Just unable to get to that ball. So runner in scoring position here for the Greyhounds. The top of the first inning. Femrite's 1-0 pitch. That is cut on. Fouled down the left field line. That one will hook foul. Lazy pop-up that Alex Jungle's no chance to go catch. Evens us up at 1-1.
Kirby McEnoe has been playing for the Austin Greyhounds a long time. He was a third baseman for them back in 2002 when they won the state tournament in Cold Spring. So he's been playing third base for a while for them.
Been around the block as McEnoe. Femrite set. Long pause. Checks the runner hard at second base. 1-1 pitch. Healthy hack. And coming up empty right there is McEnoe. Then a hole at 1-2. Should Canoe stay out of a double play of sorts here, it'll be Tyler Nelson on deck for the Greyhounds. Runner is at second base, so double play would be pretty hard, but seeing crazier things. Femrite set at the belt. Tall right-hander, long pause. Still pausing. Now he rocks and comes home. That pitch is hit in the air to left center field. That ball will drop. A tough read for Jordan Hart. He'll be waved around. They're going to send him home. Hinkemeyer's throw to the plate. Holthaus scoops and out at the plate. Ryan picks it out of the dirt. And Hinkemeyer, a short hop throw that Holthaus gobbles up. Jordan Hart slid in. Ryan Holthaus blocking the plate. As that's going to get an argument right here from the Austin coach saying, my guy's got to have a chance to come in and slide. But the rule is, Kurt, if the throw brings you there and you have the ball, you're allowed to block home plate, and that's exactly what Ryan did. What a relay from it went Lockstercamp, Hinkemeyer to Holthaus, out number two.
Well, you said it best, Kirby. If the ball's there, the catcher has the right to block it, and that's exactly what Ryan Holthaus did. I was a little surprised Austin sent him in that case because he definitely held up at second base to make sure that that ball dropped between the left fielder and center fielder, and then after a late read, they decided to send him, and I thought right away there's going to be a great play at the plate here.
Does the fact that Zach Femrite's pitching play anything into that decision, Dad? You have an opportunity where the relay's coming in, and you're thinking, well, I mean, we got a shot to score a run right here. They got to make a good throw and a good catch at home plate and tag him. Does that kind of weigh on your mind a little bit?
Well, I'm sure it does. The Austin Greyhounds know the Cold Spring Springers very well and Zach Femrite, and I'm sure you come best there, Kirby, saying, hey, if we got a chance to score, we got to go put a run on the board early. But after he hesitated at first, before he made sure that ball dropped in there, I was surprised they sent him.
1-1 the count here to Tyler Nelson. As the 1-1 pitch just missing right there. Ryan Holthaus, catcher for the Springers. I got a text from Richmond Royals catcher Cole Schmidt saying, we sound adorable, Kurt. So how about that? There's a little feather in your cap. Good evening, Cole. 2-1 pitch from Femrite. That is fouled into the netting here at Optimus Park. Evens us up at 2-2. 2-2 the count as the runner at first is McEnoe. He's a big dude. I know what you're thinking as the throw came to the plate and there was a play at the plate. Why is he not on second base? But it's a lot of man right there. I would assume he doesn't exactly scoot down the line.
He hits the ball hard, but he doesn't run real hard anymore.
2-2 offering from Femrite. Cut on and missed. Holthaus holds on, and Z gets out of a jam here in the first. Two strikeouts and three outs. No runs across for Austin in the first. No runs. They had two hits. No Springer errors. One runner left on base. Half an inning here at Optimus Park in Litchfield. It is Austin 0, Cold Spring coming to bat. It is State Amateur Baseball Class B variety on your Saturday evening. Appreciate you joining us. We're back with the bottom of the first inning coming up in 1 minute.
Sports play-by-play on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
We welcome you back to Optimus Park in Litchfield. As Kurt, you mentioned between innings, so you told me off air, Greyhounds were still kind of curious what the call was from the umpire there on that play at the plate.
Well, McEnoe, who's the designated hitter, he was the batter when that happened in that time. When he came back from first base, he had quite the conversation with the umpire at home plate as discussing Ryan Holthaus blocking the plate. But you called it right off the bat best, Kirby. You have the right to block the plate when you do have the ball.
And Holthaus had the ball, so you're allowed to block the plate. As Springers will send Brian Hansen, Garrett Fox, Eric Lockstercamp to the plate here in the bottom of the first inning. I want to say hello to Missy Getter, who messaged me on Facebook saying we sounded good. Hello, Missy. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday evening. As, yes, Hansen, Fox, and Locks will get their first look at Nels Nelson, the pitcher for the Austin Greyhounds here as Nelson rocks and fires. First offering to Brian Hansen. Big hack right there from Brian. He comes up empty for strike one. Hansen. Leadoff hitter, he's in right field. Nice little start to your lineup, Kurt. I know he was on the 2014 Springer State Championship as the one-strike pitch missing low evens it up at 1-1. I believe Brian was out of commission last year. As I think he was playing in Missouri still, trying to do a little pro ball last year, I believe.
Yeah, he was playing in independent ball somewhere anyway, but he comes into the state tournament leading the Springers in batting with a .398 batting average.
1-1 pitch to Hance. That pitch is popped up over for a look. Nope, not even a look for Matt Rasso, as that one is out of play. Brian in a hole at 1-2. Phenomenal four-year career at St. Cloud State University for Brian Hansen. He was a 2008 Ricori High School graduate, and Coach Dolan got him over to St. Cloud State. And yes, a little independent ball for a couple summers there, trying to live that pro baseball dream. Back in Cold Spring again now as the 1-2 pitch. That's hit on the ground deep in the hole and through the hole at the left side. Brian Hansen leads things off with a single for the Springers. Just kind of took that inside 1-2 pitch, Kurt, smacked it into left field to get a guy on.
Yeah, he drove it right by the diving shortstop there. You know, he came in with the best batting average, but he also came in leading the team in home runs with 7 home runs on the year, Kirby.
7 home runs. I mean, it's pretty good to start to the order. And the logic of put your best hitter first because he gets the most at-bats. So Brian's aboard at first. We'll set the Greyhounds up for you defensively here in the bottom of the first inning as Garrett Fox steps into the batter's box. As Hansen, his lead from first. Brian can scoot. Got to watch him over there. As Nelson set. Fox squaring to Bunny. Pushes one up the right side. And what a gorgeous bunt right there. Glove flip. Safe at first. What a flip from Nelson, though. As Fox pushing it up the right side. The glove flip from Nelson. But Fox beats it out. First and second. Nobody out. Great bunt. Great play, though.
You said it, Kirby. You said a great bunt. He pushed that ball just far enough that the pitcher only had one chance, was to try to flip it with his glove. But by the time he did that, Garrett Fox easily beat that out for an infield bunt single.
Bunt single after a solid single. So the first two men on for the Springers here in the first. And Eric Loxterkamp to the plate. It's John Fryan over at third base for Austin. Nate Connor at shortstop. Their second baseman this evening is Dan Bollingberg. And at first base, Logan Spitzak. Nelson, first and second, nobody out. Eric Loxterkamp to the plate. Lock squares the bunt, and he tries putting one down the third baseline, but puts it in the third base dugout for strike one. So a little small ball from the Springers here, and kind of goes back to the what we were talking about in the top of the first inning, Kurt, that logic of, you know, I know it's a big thing scoring the first run in a state tournament game, kind of setting the momentum, but when you got a guy like Femright on the mound, you get that one-run lead right away, that kind of does something for your mojo.
Well, it doesn't only help the offense a lot, but you said it best by helping out your pitcher. A guy like Zach Femright, who is one of the most dominant pitchers in Class B right now in the state of Minnesota, you go give him a 1-2-0 lead, he can just kind of go out there and relax and coast.
Loxterkamp will watch the top end. He squares again, and he pops this one up, but it will drop, and they go to first base, and Loxterkamp is out at first. Had to go to first because the third baseman, John Fryan, was charging in. Nobody home. Had he stayed put there, Hansen would have been out by 35, 40 feet at third base, but Loxterkamp pops the bunt up, but he's still unable to get it to drop, and the sacrifice in order right there, 2-3 on the putout. For out number one, runners advance 90 feet apiece.
Springers came up with a big break there because as high as he popped that up, you would have thought that bunt would have been caught. But fortunately for the Springers, it wasn't. And they took the sure out at first base because they definitely could have got Garrett Fox at second base too.
Well, it's a tough read for a base runner when the bunt's popped up that high. You don't really, you know, you're taught freeze on that play. Maybe put your momentum back towards first base a little bit or second base, wherever you're at. So tough read right there, but the runners do advance 90 feet apiece. Drew Van Loy into the batter's box, looks at a curveball strike from Nelson. Nelson right back, one strike pitch, missing down and in, evens it up at 1-1. Velo, a staple of the Springer middle of the order for, what'd you say, Kurt, about 7-8 years now since he's moved to Cold Spring from the orthopedic team. 1-1 the count. Nelson set. 1-1 pitch, off-speed hit in the air, short left field. Hansen's going to score. Fox with a great read. He's coming around. The throw coming in from left will be cut off, and it's a 2-run single for Drew Van Loy. Springer strike first on a good piece of hitting from Velo.
Drew Van Loy, the cleanup hitter, did just what the Springers wanted him to that time. Put the ball in play, and fortunate enough, he had a great single right out in front of the left fielder, and they didn't even have a play at home. It looked like they were going to throw home. They would have never had a play there to begin with. Third baseman ended up bobbling the ball. Drew Van Loy gives the Springers their first two runs of the 2016 Class B state tournament.
Great read from Fox. Hansen wisely going back to the base in case that ball was caught. An opportunity to tag up and score, but Fox realizing that was going to be down right away, so he took off. Tim Ilias, no hesitation in sending him home from the third base coaching area. 2-0 Springers as Van Loy aboard at first. One away here in the first inning as Zach Femright steps in and looks at a ball up and away. Still just the one out here in the first inning. As Nelson, a long look into his catcher, Matt Rasso. 1-0 pitch. That's just off the corner right there. Now 2-0, excuse me. Femright, should he stay out of the double play? Alex Jungles on deck for the Springers. As Femright wiggles into the box, batting fifth here for Cold Spring. Nelson's 2-0 pitch. That is skied into center field. Center fielder drifting over to left center. Tyler Nelson has it measured, makes the catch. F8 for out number two. 2-0 pitch right there. Femright just getting underneath it. Zach probably not thrilled with himself. Two away. Alex Jungles to the plate now for Cold Spring. Alex, I've probably been to four or five Springer games this year, Kurt. It seems like he's batting in a different spot in the order every week.
Well, it all depends upon who's always there, because you got to remember Eric Loxerkamp lives down in Rochester, so he doesn't always make it back for all the games and like that. So he's sometimes in the five hole, sometimes in the six hole, and occasionally even has to bat in the four hole. Depends upon who's all playing that night.
I went to that Boudreaux's Springer's marathon game at Dick Putz Field, a 17-inning fiasco, and that one Alex was batting cleanup as he fouls the first pitch off from Nels Nelson. Nelson right back as he's set at the letters. One strike pitch. Jungles fouling back to the netting. Alex in hole at 0-2. Pretty solid lineup if you got Joe Dempsey hitting seventh, though, as Dempsey's on deck. Guy who's been a 3-4 hitter for the Springers for the past 4 or 5 years, I'd say. Got him punching in the seventh spot. Not a bad little squad. Nelson trying to stop the bleeding here in the first. Keep it at two. Strike away from doing so. Long pause. Two-strike pitch. Jungles trusts his hands and holds up. Does not check. They appeal to second base. Or does check, excuse me. They appeal to second base. Alex did not go. 1-2 the count.
Alex comes into the state tournament leading the Springers in at-bats with 122 of them. He does have a .328 batting average on the year.
I don't think I have 122 at-bats in my life. As the two-strike pitch cut on and missed, Jungles is out on strikes for out number three. Nelson gets out of dodge here in the first, but not after the Springers strike first in the first, scoring two runs on three hits. There were no Austin errors, one runner left on base. One in the books, Cold Spring 2, Austin 0. Top two coming up in 1 minute, and you'll hear it here on KASM.
Live radio, live sports play-by-play on AM 1150, KASM.
Top two we go here in Litchfield. 2016 Class B State Amateur Baseball Tournament. First pitch, Zach Femright to Logan Spitzak. Bender in there for a strike. It'll be Spitzak, Matt Rasso, and Dan Bollingberg for the Austin Greyhounds. One strike pitch on the black as Femright in a dealing the first two. That's never fun, Kurt. If you imagine sitting in the batter's box, he snaps a hook in there and then paints with a fastball, 0-2 pitch, up and away for a ball, now 1-2. Up there, probably guessing, and then next thing you know, he's dropping those in there. Femright's 1-2 pitch. That's hammered in the air to left field. Jungles a few steps back, still going back. Alex now makes the catch right in front of the wall, kind of taking his time, and next thing you know, four jog steps followed by four sprint steps, and Alex makes the catch at the end of the day, but ball carried a little bit on him.
I think that ball ended up carrying a lot farther than he thought it was going to, because it looked like he was kind of camping underneath it, just kind of drifting back, and he had to kind of go hard at the end in order to make that catch, but he did a nice job of recovering and catching that ball out on the warning track for the first out here in the second inning.
Flag and straightaway center field is blowing straight out, so I would assume the ball's moving a little bit out there as the first offering from Femright to Matt Rasso. Missing inside. Want to say hello to your neighbor, Kurt, Russ Kaltoff, listening on his phone right now. Hello, Russell. We'll see plenty of Russ tomorrow. The Cold Spring Rockies take on Pelican Rapids at 2:30, State Class C tournament. That game will be heard here on KASM as well with me and Kurt on the call again as the – was that a ball?
That's what they ended up calling it, but okay. I don't know where you thought it was, Kirby.
All right, 3-0 is the count. Femright right back. 3-0 pitch, down and away. Four-pitch walk issued to Matt Rasso, and the Greyhounds have a runner here. Yes, that game at 2:30 tomorrow. Russ's son, Calvin, he'll be hitting third and doing some catching tomorrow. If I were to, you know, take a shot at the Rocky lineup tomorrow. As what an honor for the Rockies. What a cool story. Those young men, we'll get into that plenty tomorrow, I'm sure. First offering back in there for a strike to Don Bollingberg. That's in there for a strike as Rasso over at first. Short lead. Femright set at the belt. Rocks and fires. One strike pitch, tap to the right side. Van Loy came over for a look. Fox will field, flip it over to Femright, and Femright covers up. 4-3, nice flip right there from Fox to Bollingberg. Is that something, Kurt? I mean, I know Drew Van Loy's a ball player and probably played first in his life before, but sometimes you look at getting a new guy at a different position in the state tournament, you're going to maybe see just a couple little hiccups like that?
Well, I think he got caught a little off guard there. Once he realized he wasn't going to get to the ball, he should have quickly retrieved back to first base, but luckily for the Springer, Zach Femright quickly got over there, and Garrett Fox did a nice job of flipping it to him on the run, so they were able to get an out there because Drew definitely got fooled a little bit on that play, Kirby.
So runner at second is Matt Rasso with two away. First offering to John Frein. Missing above the belt for a ball. Amazing the difference in strike zone from Class C to Class B. Announcing that farming Foley game today to this game tonight. Umpires understand what's going on there. Is it now a pitch missing low, and it'll get past Ryan Holthaus. Wild pitch will allow Matt Rasso to advance to third base.
Well, something that doesn't happen too often with Ryan Holthaus behind the plate, one of the better catchers in central Minnesota. He's already had a pass ball, and that one is going to go down as a wild pitch to Zach Femright, but it's one that Ryan definitely could have had, and hopefully for the Springers that won't come back to haunt them.
In Ryan's defense, that thing would have hit a left-handed hitter in the foot, so not exactly a routine block right there by any means. But you're right, Kurt. People have pretty high expectations for Holthaus back behind the plate. 2-0 the count now to Freen. As Femright's 2-0 offering, healthy hack and a swing and a miss right there from Freen. Emptied the tank a little bit with that cut. 2-1 the count right now. As Femright, glove in front of his face, looks into Holthaus for the sign. Z's got it. Check of the runner at third. 2-1 pitch. That's in there for a strike. Squaring around a bunt and pulling back was Freen. Evens it up at 2-2. Now he's having a word with the umpire, maybe asking if it was on his offer or if that pitch was in for a strike.
And Kirby, I think it might have been both.
Yeah, you offered and it was in there, so strike two, regardless. Zach right back, 2-2 pitch. Just missing below the knees right there. We'll fill it up at 3-2 with Chris May, ninth place hitter, left fielder on deck for the Austin Greyhounds. 2-0 Springers, they notch a scoreboard. Bottom of the first inning, we're top two right here. Austin's looking to do the same. 3-2 pitch, down and away. Ball four as it's a full count walk issued to John Freen. Femright missing off the plate right there.
And this is the 11th game of the year that Zach Femright has appeared in, and he only has 12 walks total on the year, so it's very uncommon for Zach Femright to walk somebody, Kirby.
He's got two this inning, and he had 12 all season, you're telling me.
Yep.
All right. So runners at the corners, ninth place hitter, Chris May to the plate. First offering to May. That's above the letters for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Runner at third, Matt Rasso, he walked. Advanced to second on a bounce out. Third on a wild pitch. Runner at first, John Freen, he just walked. 1-0 pitch. That's low for a ball now. 2-0. Zach gets the throwback from Holthaus and kind of snaps his glove a little bit. Clearly not in love with his pitch location right now, with his effectiveness. Femright set. 2-0 pitch. That's in at the knees for a strike. Now 2-1. Talk about a guy with 199 career victories, Kurt. Innings pitched. What would you, if you were to ballpark it, what are you thinking as the 2-1 offering comes in? That's just low right there, as now Zach looking at the ump like, give me a break here. But what are you thinking? 800, is that too many?
I'm guessing probably more, because you got to remember it's 199 wins. That's not counting his defeats, because he did have a few of them earlier on in his career, as dominant as he's been later on in his career.
3-1 pitch comes up empty right there for Chris May. Fills it up at 3-2. Well, how many innings he throw this year?
This year, he's a down year for him. He had a pulled hamstring for a while, so he hasn't thrown as many as usual. He's at 59 innings, where most years he comes into the state tournament over 100 innings.
Freen leaves early on the full count as that pitch is cut on and missed as Chris May goes down on strikes. As that'll be out number three. Femright in a first and third jam there, but he with the big K to get out of the inning, his third strikeout of the evening, and that does it for Austin here in the second. No runs, no hits, no Springer errors. There were two men left on base, one and a half. Cold Spring 2, Austin 0. State Amateur Baseball here on KASM. It's Class B style here on your Saturday night. We're back to the bottom of the second inning. That's coming up in 1 minute.
Sports play-by-play on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
Bottom of the second, bottom of the order for the Springers here in this bottom of the second inning. Joe Dempsey, Jaron Terrace, Zach Hinkemeyer. Kind of interesting to say that that's the bottom of somebody's order, huh, Kurt? You got Dempsey, Jaron Terrace, a kid who went to NDSU for a couple years, and then Zach Hinkemeyer, who's been on a couple all-tournament teams for the Springers. Not exactly the guys that you're not worried about.
Well, Joe Dempsey is batting in the seven hole, but he does have a little bit of a down year this year. He generally comes into the state tournament well, batting over 300. He comes in with a .291 batting average this year, and I think that had something to do with why Tim Ilias made a little bit of a change in the order today.
Falls the first pitch from Nels Nelson Osev. The second pitch is skied in the infield. Shortstop out for a look. Left fielder now coming on. The left fielder will come and make the catch. That's Chris May on that mile-high pop-up right there from Dempsey. So one away. We'll bring Jaron Terrace to the plate.
Jaron comes into the state tournament with the second leading batter for the Cold Spring Springers with a .377 batting average on the year. And I think that's why Coach Tim Ilias made a change so he could get that bat in the lineup, Kirby.
Good idea. As Terrace looks at a first pitch strike from Nels Nelson. Jaron started at NDSU, and by started, I mean started his collegiate career there, and he'll be transferring to St. John's University this upcoming fall as the 1-0 pitch hit up the middle. Long run for the shortstop, fields it behind second base, throw across the diamond in time. Nice play right there. Covered a lot of ground to Nate Connor as Jaron can scoot a little bit, but he's thrown out on a nice play by Connor, the shortstop.
He did. He definitely went and got that ball behind second base and just got the speedy Jaron Terrace at first base there.
So two quick ones for Nels Nelson. Probably threw 25, 30 pitches in that first inning. He'd love to maybe get out of here single digits. I think he's at four right now this inning. Zach Hinkemeyer into the batter's box as Nelson's first offering to Zach. That's in there for a strike. Zach kind of pops back and looks at the umpire a little bit as if to say, whoa, whoa. Nelson right back as the righty rocks and fires. His one strike offering to Hinkemeyer. Breaking ball. A little too late breaking. Evens it up at 1-1. Springers with a two spot in the bottom of the first. It's our only scoring thus far as we are in the bottom of the second inning. 1-1 pitch. Hinkemeyer will sky this one into short center field. Shortstop Connor out for a look again. Connor is going to call it, and he won't be able to catch it. Nobody's covering second base now. Hinkemeyer alertly scoots into second as second baseman Ballingberg, the shortstop Connor, they all went out there to try to catch the ball. Bounced off the glove of the shortstop Connor. Zach, realizing nobody home at second, I'll just take it, and he's in the scoring position with two away.
Was a great heads-up play by Zach after he got a little bit of a break. It looked like the center fielder should have almost called him off on that play, but it looked like the shortstop was kind of working his way underneath it and didn't really see a signal as who was calling for the ball, and it was a break for the Springers.
They give him a hit right there as, I guess, tough play for Connor, being he did kind of get twisted up, as you mentioned, Kurt. But if you look at, you see where the center fielder Tyler Nelson's playing. That's probably why he didn't catch it, because he's playing 10 feet in front of the fence at 370. As the first pitch to Brian Hansen, leadoff man, was in there for a strike. One strike pitch popped up, fouling out of play. It's 370 to dead center field here at Optimus Park. And I got to say that Tyler Nelson's playing all of 355 out there right now.
Well, I think he knows Brian Hansen well enough. He comes into the
state. He was there for Hinkemeyer.
Okay, I didn't know if he was for sure that deep on Hinkemeyer, but it makes sense why he wasn't able to get in to catch that ball.
Two-strike pitch to Hansen. Breaking ball. Yikes. Wowza. Nelson not getting much love from the man in black behind the plate. This is a pretty good-looking pitch, as Brian even looked at the umpire like, am I out? Should I go sit down? Should I get my glove? No, no. 1-2 the count. Nelson right back. 1-2 pitch. Now Brian swings through this one. He's out on strikes. for out number three. That does it for the Springers. They had a bit of a threat as a two-out rally there with Hinkemeyer, but the second strikeout of the evening for Nels Nelson puts the Springers away. No runs, one hit, no Austin Ayres, one runner left on base, two in the books. It is Cold Spring 2, Austin 0. It is State Amateur Baseball here on KASM. Third inning's coming up in 1 minute. Top of the third, top of the order for the Austin Greyhounds, and it starts with Nate Connor, who looks at a first pitch strike from Zach Femright. It'll be Connor, Jordan Hart, Matt Cano. The top of the Austin Greyhound order due up here in the third inning. Femright right back is one strike offering. That's missing right there, down and in. Those of you listening on AM 1150, and if the signal's kind of fading a little bit on you, the AM signal late at night here is Femright's 1-1 pitch. Squibbed at first, and ooh, Van Loy tried getting it before it went foul. Drew some good hustle right there, but he was unable to get it before it went to the right of that white chalk mark. It'll be 1-2 right here. Good effort by Van Loy, though. Smart baseball play. Yes, those of you listening on AM 1150 and it's starting to fade on you late in the evening, fear not. 107.7, our FM translator on KASM. It's 107.7. Randy Rostein telling me he's pulling it in Litchfield. He's just driving past Litchfield right now on his way home from Dassel today, and he's got 107.7. So Chasm Country is extended here when the sun goes down on 107.7. Got to try that out on the FM late at night, or, of course, online, mykasm.com, or the TuneIn Radio app. As Connor punched that one foul up the first baseline, and then he comes up empty on a high fastball from Femright. Out number one, strikeout number four for Zach. Kind of gasses up on two strikes still, huh? For a guy who's, what, 36, 37 years old, he can still bring the pain a little bit with two strikes.
And it's amazing how much harder he does throw whenever he does have two strikes on a batter.
As the first two pitches to Jordan Hart, missing above the letters. Femright looking at the baseball a little bit right now. 2-0 the count. Jordan singled, advanced to second on a pass ball. Ended up being thrown out at home plate on a single by Matt Cano in the top of the first inning. As a single to center field, Eric Lockstrakamp got it to Zach Hinkemeyer. Hinkemeyer to Holthaus at the plate. Put the tag on Jordan Hart. Falls that one to the screen. 2-1 pitch, missing up and away now. 3-1. One away, top of the third inning. Zach right back. 3-1 pitch. That's right down the middle. Hart was ready to flip his bat to the dugout, but he was trying to sell it to the umpire a little bit. Ump wasn't buying. Fills it up at 3-2. Payoff pitch from Femright. That one, Holthaus is ready to fire that one to third, but this time Hart will be able to flip his bat to the dugout. It is a full count walk issued. Three walks now, Kurt, for Zach Femright.
Very unusual for Zach Femright. As we said, he came into the state tournament with only 12 walks on the year. Now he has three walks in less than three innings.
So one on, one out. Matt Cano to the plate. He singled. Aforementioned single that ended up getting Hart thrown out at home plate. That was back in the first. Big lefty into the box. Femright set at the belt. First offering, that's fouled back to the netting. One strike.
Kirby, you were talking about the reception. I was on my way to a wedding in Prior Lake today listening to you announce the Farming Foley game. I got to hear you clear all the way to Minnetonka on 494, and when I got down to Bloomington, that's when I lost you. So we had AM 1150 in Minnetonka.
As the one strike pitch missing out and away. So hearing that, and I know Randy's listening right now, I would say that your sales calls, Randy, might need to start going towards that North Metro a little more than maybe the Sauk Center area. That's pretty cool to hear that KASM goes that far on a nice summer day. I know I was listening to Randy and Don during that Regal game. I was catching them all the way to Broughton. I guess I wouldn't really have figured I would have got them there, but got them all the way to Broughton today.
And it wasn't actually even very nice while I was listening at that time. It was actually raining in Minnetonka when you told me the sun was shining in Broughton.
Sure. 1-1 pitch. This one is hammered to deep right center, or to right center field, excuse me, coming on. Hanson making the catch. He's going to throw behind at first, but back at first base is Jordan Hart. I look down at my phone, and Randy says, please, no more sales. So apparently that horse needs a break for a little bit in the sales department as Matt Cano flies out to right field for out number two. I'm still surprised, Kurt. I know you listen to a lot of Region 15 C's tournament. Those two, Donnie Heinen did the math. They announced 36 hours worth of baseball in two weekends. That is I mean, sometimes that's more work than I do in an entire week. As that's a lot of ball between those two.
Well, you said it best about being a lot of baseball, because I know there was going to be five games played on that Saturday, and they asked me to come over and give them a hand in Painesville, and I went and announced two of those games as a public address announcer just to give Dwayne a little bit of a break so he didn't have to do all of them. And I can't imagine going to do 10 games like that in a weekend.
Public address announcing gets taxing from time to time doing that. They had to sit and do play-by-play and analysts and stuff like that. Tip of the cap, boys. Well done. I do. I mean, that tournament calls itself. It's a lot of fun, but that I was not envious of that time. As a wild pitch right here is going to get Jordan Hart into second base, two away, as that pitch missing low, and Holthaus didn't really have a shot at that one. Next pitch fouled away by Tyler Nelson, evens it up at 1-1. So, yes, Jordan Hart in at second with two down here in the top of the third inning. Springers a 2-0 lead over Austin here in the opening round of the 2016 Class B baseball tournament. This is a elimination game. You got to win a game to play into the double elimination tournament in Class B. As Hart extends his lead, he's going to try taking off, and he's going to be thrown out by a mile at third base. You could see him inching, Kurt. He thought he had femorites, you know, cadence down, and he thought Zach was going to come with that big high right or that big high left knee coming to his chin. He slide steps, and Holthaus shoots him by 25 feet.
Yeah, and they had to know better than to do that against a guy like Zach Femright. When you're not going to get many chances to score runs like that, you don't want to give him any extra outs and or take any outs away from there. And stealing third base in that play was not a smart play by Austin.
So Hart's been he's been on base twice, and he's ran into two outs. Got thrown out at home, and then got thrown out at third base trying to steal there. For the Greyhounds here in the third, no runs, no hits, no sprint errors. There was nobody left on base. It is three in the books, two and a half here at Litchfield's Optimist Park. We head to the bottom of the third inning, and that's coming up in 1 minute on KASM. Bottom three we go. 2-0 Springers as they look to add on here. Second look at pitcher Nels Nelson for Cold Springs' Garrett Fox, Eric Lockstercamp, and Drew Van Loy. 2, 3, and 4 of that Springer order. Fox steps in. Nelson rocks and fires his first offering to Fox. Garrett swings through that letter-high fastball. Garrett pushed a lovely bunt up the first base side. Nelson with a phenomenal glove flip over to first, but not in time to catch the speedy Fox. Came around to score on the Drew Van Loy 2-RBI single as he advanced to second on that Eric Lockstercamp sacrifice bunt. Looks at a strike right there. Garrett's in a hole at 0-2. 0-2 the count. Nelson rocks and fires. He'll come right back. 0-2 pitch. That's fought off by Fox. Fouls that one over the Springer dugout, which is the first base dugout here at Optimist Park. Pretty good crowd on hand, Kurt.
It is a good crowd for a Class B game here, and Litchfield's got their park looking beautiful here tonight for a Class B baseball game.
That they do, and it's not just the one-trick pony for Litchfield in Class B. Years past, I know you guys in Cold Spring got to, in 2012, host the one day of Class B baseball. Not the case anymore, as you got the bracket in front of you. They got some more games coming here in Litchfield.
Well, they definitely do. They eliminated the Thursday night games, and they get eight games right off the bat, and ended up getting the ninth game last night by that Hutchinson game moved over here.
How about that? As Fox swings through the pitch right there from Nelson, he's out on strikes for out number one. Three strikeouts for Nels Nelson. Three of his now seven outs recorded are via the strikeout. Hutchinson, you put all that work, all that time, energy, effort into hosting the state tournament, and the first nine games you were supposed to have get moved elsewhere.
Well, it was actually only the first eight, because there's only actually three games scheduled at each site tomorrow, because they played the one last night.
Oh, well, then the first eight they had scheduled got moved elsewhere.
But, yeah, that is unfortunate, because I can only imagine last year all the time we spent living at the ballpark all summer preparing for the state tournament, and then to think that you were going to lose one of your three weekends.
I'm told, though, and this, I could be incorrect here, but money in Broughton today goes back to the Hutchinson pocketbook.
Well, I'm sure that's the case what it is, because I'm sure what they did is they took all concessions from Hutchinson and moved them down there and things like that there. But I know they're going to give Broughton something for helping them out in a situation like that.
2-0 pitch from Nelson to Eric Lockstercamp, skied into left center field. Left fielder Chris May tracks that one down, over makes the catch. Locks retired. It's two quick ones here in the third. You got to assume, as you are that alternate site, maybe not necessarily completely stocked in the concession stand, just kind of maybe a bit aware, or what were you thinking? That basically Hutch brought everything south to Broughton today?
I got a pretty good idea that Hutch brought everything down there too, because I'd have a hard time believing, because, for instance, our concession stand, there's nothing in it right now, and we had baseball there yet last Saturday.
First pitch to Drew Van Loy, missing for a ball. Nelson right back. 1-0 offering to Velo. That's in there for a strike. Drew, the offensive provider thus far for the Springers. Two-run RBI single back in the first inning, scoring Hansen and Fox, punching one to left field. 1-1 pitch. That is hammered fair down the left field line as it is a two-out single for Drew Van Looy. He's chugging for second base. Throw comes in, and Drew is going to be out at second base. Made the turn right at first. No hesitation as the left fielder, Chris May, slipped out in left field. He came up and threw a strike from left, though. Velo's punched out at second, and that does it